Populism sweeps Italy. Italians just say no to the conventional politicians. Does this sound like the last American election? And what does it mean for the flagging European Union? We'll talk about it on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner with you this week. It was a shocking repudiation of the old guard politicians and the traditional political parties, what happened in the Italian elections this week. And we're joined from Europe by LibertyNation.com international correspondent Onur Om to try and put this in perspective. Welcome, Onur.
Hey there.
Thank you for joining us. Now, Onur, almost three-quarters of Italian voters pulled the lever for right-of-center candidates, seeming to send a clear message to the European Union that their globalist policies and immigration policies are no longer welcome in Italy. Let's start with the EU itself. How serious is this result for the future of that union?
I can guarantee you that every EU elite bureaucrat are shaking in their pants right now, because this is a big thing. When 70% of any nation in the EU votes for anything, it's a big deal. And here we're talking about one of the most populous and largest countries and one of the founding countries of the EU. So having 70% of the vote tell no to this disastrous immigration policy, they have to listen to that, or they better, because if they don't, bad things are going to happen.
Well, we had Brexit when English voters decided to leave the EU a couple of years ago, but then the populist or nationalist wave seemed to slow down a bit with a couple of other national elections in France and the Netherlands in particular, but now Italy weighs in with this shocking result. How would you describe the state of the nationalist, anti-globalist movement on the European continent? Will this result embolden voters elsewhere on the continent, do you think?
I think that this will have echo effects all over the continent. And we have to remember that in France, for instance, where Marine Le Pen lost to Macron, she still lost to an outsider candidate. Macron started his party from scratch just one year earlier and still won. So none of the traditional parties won there. So just because Marine Le Pen did a bad election campaign and lost doesn't mean that anti-immigration policy or sentiment in Europe is going down. On the contrary, it's on the rise everywhere. Everyone in pretty much any country is worried about this trend. And as we see, Italy is sort of right next door to Africa, North Africa, and they're seeing waves of migrants coming, and they're the first country to be hit. So they feel this very, very strongly. And therefore, this effect is likely to spread to other countries. We're going to see more of this.
Well, now there's a tendency for those of us across the pond in the U.S. to look at the nationalist movement in Europe as being strictly a right-wing movement. But you mentioned Marine Le Pen in France. I mean, she is no right-winger. She is anti-EU, and she's nationalist. But in a lot of ways, her policies are very socialist as well. So is this nationalist movement limited to so-called far-right parties, or is it broader than that?
I would say it's a lot broader. Like the five-star movement in Italy that was actually the winner with more than 30% of the votes, they ran on a sort of Trumpian campaign with lower taxes and corporate taxes and less red tape, but at the same time wanted to strengthen the rights and payments for poor people, which resonated with the voters in the South, which is traditionally more left-leaning. So it's difficult to place this on either the right or the left. People who vote for less red tape don't necessarily do that because they are right-wing or they are free market, but because they're EU skeptic and they just want to have less of that stuff.
Right, and skepticism about the EU is obviously rising. As you said, Marine Le Pen didn't win in France, but she did much better than in the last election. And the right wing did better in Germany than at any time since World War II. And I think in Germany, it's fair to say that the nationalist movement was definitely to the right, if not the far right. Plus, of course, we have Brexit and now this Italian election. What is the EU's plan for trying to stop this anti-EU movement?
I am not sure what their plan is, and I'm not sure they know what their plan is. They have been so arrogant about this. They think that they have the upper hand. Look at how they've been treating Britain in the Brexit negotiations. So arrogant, as if they can dictate everything. And I think this reflects a kind of lack of touch with reality from this upper class elite of Eurocrats. They just don't have any feeling for what's going on in the people, and they think that they can manage this. And I think they're over their head. And I think it's only now dawning on them that they may lose the grip of power in the end.
Well, you mentioned Brexit, and Matteo Salvini, who's a leader of the Italian nationalist movement and potential next prime minister, likely to be the next prime minister after these Italian elections, has vowed to remain close friends with the UK after Brexit. It seems that anger about the EU punishing England for the Brexit vote was a real part of what happened in this Italian election, yes?
I think you're right. I think that people who are being, generally speaking, punished by the EU are starting to find each other across national boundaries, which is sort of ironic because, I mean, the EU is supposed to be this great uniter, and now it's a combination of a divider and new alliances are being formed with previous countries that have nothing to do with each other, such as Italy and the UK. This is a very interesting trend, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
All right, so let's talk about Germany a bit. It seems Germans have been the bankers for the rest of the EU, bankrolling the bailout of Greece, among others. How long will Germans agree to continue to bail out countries destroying themselves with socialism?
Germans are a special kind of people. They are known to be very patient, very, very patient. But when they snap, they can snap very quickly and harshly. And it may not be pretty when they do it. So the Italians, they get angry faster, but then it's over. But when Germans get angry, they can sometimes get really angry. And we're sort of hoping that we're not going down that road, because the last time Germans got really angry was in the 1930s and 1920s and 1930s, and that was not a pretty sight. But there are indications that the so-called nationalist movements in in Germany and Austria are not of the same ilk as before. They're very aware of this connection, association with the past, and they don't want to make the mistakes of previous generations. So even though the German people might be quite angry or eventually get very angry, the nationalist movements show that they are responsible in dealing with this. They're very calm and they're handling this in a very mature manner. Unlike, for instance, the left, the Antifa, which are absolutely insane. We've seen some of the Antifa stuff in America, but that just fades in comparison to what's going on in Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Europe, Antifa is a real terrorist organization doing absolutely horrible stuff. So this is also part of why partly why the nationalist movement is so careful about what they're doing. And everyone is afraid of the left, of the terror that they put on people. And therefore, people are reluctant to go down the path of nationalism because they're afraid of what might happen to them. So everything is open when it comes to Germany. But worst case is that we're going down a dark path there. Hopefully not.
Well, I've thought for some time, Onar, that Europe will never fully recover from German Chancellor Angela Merkel's decision to accept millions of refugees, mostly from Syria, and that with the birth rates of Muslims far exceeding those of European natives, that Islam will eventually become the majority in Europe. Do you agree?
Yes, that is a danger. But on one hand, you have this this boiling frog phenomenon, that if things go slowly, you don't notice it. And therefore, it's the slow thing that will eventually kill you. But if instead you throw the frog into boiling water, he's going to wake up and jump out. And I think that this is what we're seeing now, that Merkel actually may have done Europe a service by throwing it into such chaos with her disastrous decision, because Europe is now waking up in a way that it might not have done otherwise. So we see this all over Europe, that people are waking up, that there's something really bad going on, and everyone knows it. And they, at the moment, they don't want to talk about it or dare to talk about it, but it's increasing in pressure. And eventually, I think it's going to manifest itself in a reaction, hopefully a peaceful reaction. But there's still plenty of hope for Europe. Europe can still be saved. And we mustn't forget that Eastern Europe has resoundingly said no to all sorts of immigration. So there are no terrorist attacks in Eastern Europe, for instance. Poland is completely terror-free. Mm-hmm. It also has zero Muslim immigration. So they're also showing another path for Western Europe. And like some countries have gone down that path further than others, the bad path, such as Sweden and Germany. And neighbor countries are taking notice. Like in Norway and Denmark, people are watching Sweden with amazement. And we talk about the Swedish condition as a form of disease. So no one wants to be like Sweden, because Sweden seems to be completely suicidal in their policies. Mm-hmm. So people are taking notice. People are learning from the mistakes of other countries, such as Germany and Sweden. So it's not over until it's over.
Well, you mentioned Sweden, which along with your home, Norway, and Finland constitute Scandinavia. What's the mood of the voters there? Are they intent on fighting back against the sudden influx of terrorist forces in Sweden? I mean, they were once a soft socialist mecca, but they seem to have turned away from socialism. What's the mood in Sweden and the rest of Scandinavia?
In Sweden, the mood is absolute fear and terror. No one dares to say anything because the elite there is insane, and they're hitting very hard down on anyone who dares to speak up against them. So it's a soft form of totalitarian regime, and you're more likely to go to jail if you tell someone about the statistics of rape than if you actually are a migrant rapist. So it's a horrible state in Sweden. It's different in Norway and Denmark, because the tradition, at least in my country, Norway, is that once people notice that something is wrong, there's a common sense attitude that, okay, we noticed that we screwed up, let's fix this, but let's not talk about it out loud. Let's just do it behind the scenes and try to cover up the mistake that was made. So here, many of the parties that was on the left and was very, very pro-immigration, once they saw what happened in Sweden, the disaster with the migrant crisis, they just shut up immediately. So there's very little push now in Norway from the left towards this migrant or having migrants come in. No, that's really not a deal anymore. So it's become just a silent thing that immigration to Norway has virtually stopped. You see this trend in other countries as well. Silently, countries are just stopping it. They don't want to talk too loudly about it because they don't want to admit that they are taking aboard this kind of policy that is regularly deemed to be far right by the leftist media. But they are doing it. So this is happening across Europe, not only in my home country, everywhere. And in Italy, it was a very, very strong signal because that's like that's the place where migrants first come. So 70% of the population voted for right-leaning parties there. But you see a similar trend in other countries as well.
Thank you, Onar. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure.
Onar Am, international correspondent for LibertyNation.com. Don't forget, LibertyNation.com now has an audio playlist of our daily top stories, so at the click of one button, you can hear news and analysis minus the leftist propaganda. LibertyNation.com, where truth is making a comeback. I'm Tim Donner, and this is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com.